I never thought about the universe, it made me feel small. Never thought about the problems of this planet at all. Global warming, radioactive sites, imperialistic wrongs, and animal rights. No! Bad things when life is so good. Why up with an am when there's always a could? Let the whales worry about the poisons in the sea. Outside of California, it's foreign policy. I don't want changes, I know reactions. Your dilemmas are my distractions. That's the way to go, Franco, un-American. No way to go, Franco, un-American. No way to go, Franco, un-American. Franco, one American. I never looked around, never sent the gift. Then I read some hours in, now I'm always depressed. And now I can't sleep from years of apathy. All because I read a little Noam Chomsky. I'm eating vegetation because of fast food. I wear a couple of shoes cause of globalization. I'm watching Michael Moore expose the awful truth. I'm listening to Public Enemy and Reagan Youth. I see no world peace cause of zealous armed forces. I eat no bread, bitch, cause I'm from the hoof horses. Now I can't believe what an absolute failure. The president's laughing cause he voted for Nader. That's the way to go, Franco, un-American. No way to go, Franco, un-American. No way to go, Franco, un-American. Where can we go, Franco, un-American? I wanna move north and be a Canadian. Or hang down low with the nice Australians. I don't wanna be another, I don't care again. What are we gonna do, Franco, Franco, un-American?
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia. This is a weekly punk rock show. We all fall down. My name is Tim, and welcome to the show, my friends. The telephone in studio is 604-822-2487, 604-822-CITR. Today is a very exciting and very important show for me. Regular listeners of the show know that NoFX is my favorite band in the world. And, you know, I'm one of those people who have an absolute number one favorite band. On a regular basis, I listen to those hundreds of other bands, and I always excited to discover new punk bands, new young bands. But NoFX always stays my number one band of all time, and you know, I'm one of those music lovers who always have number one band. You know, I think it's a little bit weird to say that you like your favorite band not because of music, not only because of music. Yeah, that's probably the right way to word it. Of course, music was the key reason and the first reason why I started listening to the band, to NoFX, about 15 years ago. But there is more about this, and I'm quoting, unmanageable organization. There's live performance, their humor, independence, friendship, and relationships in the band. We all know that the band's NoFX lineup is Fat Mike, Melvin Smelly, and El Jefe, four musicians. But there's a group of people who have been with the band for 20 years now, helping and working behind the curtain. If you've seen the Backstage Passport, that's a documentary about the band going on around the world, you probably know what I'm talking about. And, you know, those guys, they are also members of the band. Fans call them NoFX Team, and just the team. And today I have in studio a member of NoFX Team, one of the stars and of the best music-related documentary, Backstage Passport, and keyboardist, monitors and stage manager, and even sometimes a security, as we've seen of Backstage Passport, and mostly importantly, friend, and all over those years. I'd like to introduce Limo. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
We'll start playing a little bit music, we'll start a little bit of NoFX, and then we'll get down to the interview, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Okay, let's start. Let's start playing some NoFX, and I'd like you to play a song called Mattersville from The War on Terrorism. So let's start. This is NoFX, Mattersville, and this is Weekly Punk Rock Show. We all fall down.
There's a place some of us choose to live. Gated community, cops can't come in. A neighborhood for punks over the hill. We spent our golden years in Mattersville. We can do whatever we want, whenever we please. There's always a keg of beer and a block of cheese. We got camps, pinball, asteroids, space invaders and missile command. We will grow. Skateboard. But most of us want ball and shuffleboard. We may be getting ripe, but we ain't born. We got a blackboard with some rules and laws. Hefe's got an 18-car garage. Most of the cars are smashed, so is Spike. Twice a week on karaoke night. Melvin lives next door to me. Limo and the lot next head security. At the end of my cul-de-sac, Davey Havoc's house is painted black. We will grow old and better. We got our bills, so what else matters?
I can go. Radio Clash.
in seventh. I was a quiet boy, you showed me no heaven. Two idols surely lost. No remorse, ignoring the cause.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no? The music says it all, but we'd like to say it again. Thank you, from all of us at CITR, for your generous support during our 2011 fund drive. We just couldn't do it without you.
You made a million dreams come true, and so I'm saying thank you, a million to you.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia. And I have here Limo, member of NoFX team here in studio. Thanks again so much for coming to this radio show.
No problem.
Let's start. I have some questions for you. Let's start from the beginning. I know that you and Kent, you both are from Winnipeg.
Yes.
And growing up there, were you involved in the punk scene, and how did you actually met Kent?
Yeah. I met Kent through being involved in the punk scene. Kent was involved with a space that developed in Winnipeg called The Cauldron. And we did a bunch of shows at The Cauldron. And Kent was basically, I met him and he was brought on as first like kind of building manager. And then he finagled his way into doing sound because, you know, The Cauldron couldn't pay a sound guy. So Kent was like, I'll do sound. And I was there. I got into The Cauldron through a guy I was living with who was one of the local Winnipeg promoters. And I was also working with the PA company. So we went in there and hung the PA that would eventually like be used all the time. So I got to know Kent and we were out. And then one thing led to another and we started hanging out and playing together. And, you know, then we knew each other well. One time he's like one of my oldest, dearest friends.
So you mentioned playing. So you were playing in the band of the Winnipeg.
Yeah, I was in a couple of different punk rock bands in Winnipeg. Kent was in a couple of different jazz punk sort of bands in Winnipeg as well.
Can you tell a little bit about the, just mention the names?
Oh, the first band I was in was called Alienation. And it's the first time I'd ever played music. I played drums. And then eventually I played in a band called Global Genocide.
Yeah. And Kent?
And Kent played in a band called Wrong.
So kind of like no means no influence.
Yeah. Kent's band Wrong actually is there's a compilation that came out of Winnipeg called It Came From Winnipeg, and their song is actually on that.
Oh, so it's still possible probably to find.
It's totally possible to find. Okay. Yeah, I think it was like Cowboy Bob or something was the name of the song. It was pretty good.
So you're from Winnipeg, but in the song theme from NoFX album, you yell that I'm Limo from Scotland. So,
yeah.
What's the connection? Is it your family's background from Scotland?
Yeah, there's a big like Scottish-Canadian community in Winnipeg, and my mom's from Edinburgh. So when I was growing up, my mom and my aunt and my grandma, that was our immediate family kind of around us. So it was all Scottish people. So I pretty much grew up in a pretty Scottish couple of households. So.
So, yeah, you meant that Kent was a sound guy, and then I heard the story that how he met NoFX. He actually met him here in Vancouver doing sound at one of the smaller clubs. How was your story? How you started with NoFX?
Well, what happened was the band that Kent and I was in started in Winnipeg, and we moved out to Vancouver. And while we were in Vancouver, Kent had gotten a job as a sound guy. NoFX had come into town looking for a sound guy. They wanted to take a sound guy on the road with them. And they were looking for a specific guy, by the name of Craig, who was working for No Means No at the time, because Eric Melvin had heard No Means No and thought they always sounded great. So he came in, and Craig wanted no part of going on tour. He had just come back from like a six-week European tour. And Kent, at that point, actually had just come back from a tour with a Seattle band called Coffin Break.
Mm-hmm.
So he had done Europe with Coffin Break. And so when Eric Melvin approached... I think it was Eric Melvin, but Eric approached Craig, and Craig said, I don't want to go, but here's Kent. You should take Kent. So that was one of the first times that I guess NoFX had come here. They were playing the Cruel Elephant on Granville, right? So Kent was around, and he met them, so that was good. So one thing led to another, and he ended up going on tour with them. And as you do when you hang out with Kent, you fall in love with him because he's the raddest guy ever. And so they took Kent with them. And so our band was still kind of together at the time, but it was on the edge of breaking up. Things weren't going good. So Kent was going out on tour with NoFX and coming home and basically just crashing at my place and living at my place. And an opportunity came. I went out on tour with SNFU because I was still doing sound. When Kent left, I got to do his job at doing sound. Me and another guy basically took over for Kent. So that's how I started doing more sound. And then Kent came back and called, and they were out opening up for Fishbone. They were going to be the middle band on the Fishbone tour. There was a first band, a middle band, and then Fishbone. The whole tour was bringing production, and the deal was if they wanted a monitor guy or a sound check, they were going to have to pay the monitor guy like $50 a day or something to do it. So they turned around and said, well, if we're going to pay some guy $50 a day, we want him to be our guy and do everything. But how are we going to find a guy who can do like monitors and drums and guitars and everything? And Kent was like, I know a guy. And then I got the call and I went out and toured with NoFX. And I guess that was like 17 or so years ago.
Before joining the band, what was your relationship to the band? Have you heard of them before? Did you like them? You never heard of them? What was the...
I hated them because they stole my bass player from my band. No, they'd been coming through town, so I knew of them. I actually met, I think it was Eric and Jay Walker, at a house party that we had both ended up at and fallen asleep and woke up in the morning, and they were leaving as I was leaving, and they're like, oh, those are the guys from NoFX. I was like, hey. And then at like some Jack's team reunion time back in the early 90s. And so I kind of knew them, and so Kent had gone away with them, so I'd hear in a bunch about them, and I knew that they were a great band because I loved their... When they first started coming here, I heard the records, and I was like, wow, these guys are great. Mm-hmm. And then so Kent started working with them, which was really good, and this was like a great time, I guess, for that kind of punk rock with Europe really opened up, so they got to become like, you know, a big international punk rock touring band, so... Kent was enjoying it, and then he hooked me up, and you know, I met the guys. It was a pretty good fit.
Okay, let's listen to some music you brought in.
All right.
So, you know what was the first track?
I think the first track might be Minor Threat Filler.
Okay, so let's start. This is Minor Threat. This is Limo of NoFX Team, and this is a weekly punk rock show. We All Fall Down.
I'll see through your eyes. I'll see through your eyes.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio show We All Fall Down on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia. And I have Limo, of a member of NoFX team, here in studio. And we're having a great time talking and listening to great punk rock music. So the last song we heard was the Bad Brains.
Yes.
So we actually made a mistake. We started off with Articles of Faith instead of Minor Threat Filler. And then, then it was Minor Threat. And the last song was... Bad Brains.
Yes.
Perfect. Let's talk a little bit about Backstage Passport, because this is like one, I think this is the best music related documentary piece in the world.
Well, there you go.
You know, I'm
heard it here on CITR.
I'm, you know, a little bit, obviously, like, I'm a fan of the band, but I showed it to a couple of my friends, and like my friend who is a metalhead, he likes some punk rock, but like it's not totally his thing. Doesn't matter. He just fell in love with the movie. When I was getting ready for the show, I was watching with my wife, and she likes some punk rock because I obviously always all the time listen to the music. But she said, "Now I understand why your metalhead friend fell in love with this documentary, because it's music. Okay, it's a big part, but it's just the story and the whole thing is brilliant."
Oh, good, good.
You know that. During the Backstage Passport, it was the world tour going in the crazy places, and Mike says in the beginning of the movie that touring North America is not as boring and not as fun as going to the crazy places. Was it the stuff which is happening in the Backstage Passport? Is it how it usually NoFX lives on tour, like, you know, or is it a little bit different from North American tours, like the stuff which was happening in Backstage Passport?
It's a little bit different, just because in a lot of the stuff in Backstage Passport, we're going into different places and flying in, so we're basically bringing like a bare bones backline. When we go on an American tour, we're on a bus. There's a little bit more consistency with what we have with us, and you know, we're in our element. North American touring, it's, you know, it's good clubs, you know what you're going to get.
Uh-huh.
We're at that stage of NoFX is not playing like the little 300s and 150
uh-huh.
capacity clubs where you don't know if the sound system's going to be good or bad. You know, night after night, we're always in A-plus rooms, and it's going to be great, so it's good. And it's great, and you know, the show is all good. The show is the same whether it's like in one of those A-plus clubs or like, you know, some bad disco bar in Kuala Lumpur, right? But yeah, the difference is, you know, like we've gone into places and, you know, for us as the technicians and the crew, we have to pull rabbits out of our asses all the time. So, but yeah, and the biggest hassle is also just the travel. Like what you see on Backstage Passport is a pretty good representation of it. You know, it's hurry up and wait the whole time. And when you're going, you're go, go, go. And then when you're done, you're catching sleep when you can. And, you know, and a lot of times you're, you know, falling down on your feet, but it's good.
You know, you've been in some really, really crazy places during this tour, and like in some sketchy places. What do you think was the scariest, maybe not the right word, but like the weirdest story? Was it the running away from the cops in Peru, fight in Jerusalem, riding the Green Dragon, or maybe Osaka Jail in China? What was the...
Oh, Osaka Jail, that was Japan.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah, those are fairly documented on Backstage Passport. Those were good. There's some stuff that didn't make the cut that was on that movie too, of like just weird things. Like when we played in Indonesia, you know, there's that scene where you just see all the cops and
uh-huh.
just the disconnect, like, you know, you're there and you're the band, and you know, and some of these places we go in, and the promoter, we know what we're dealing with. Like when we played with, it was in Malaysia, in Singapore, where we did the Green Dragon with Razi Raza, who was just fantastic. It was a great show. And then we go to Jakarta. We never see this guy, Torkus.
Oh,
and we do see him. He's like super sketchy. We get shown up. We get picked up in this bus with the army and stuff. And we're like, what? And then we go to this huge venue, and there's more cops than I've ever seen. Like, and they're all like... marching around, we're going, this is going to be interesting, you know, and just the whole disconnect with the public and the kids, you know, the kids are so far away, and, you know, in the middle of the day, you stop, and all of a sudden, you're listening, and all you hear is, you know, the horns playing out the prayers, right, because it's a Muslim country, so five times a day, you know, there's the Ibrim with the call to the faithful, and we're just like, okay, turn the music off, And I was just like, wow. You know, so that kind of stuff. Sometimes there's weirdness that doesn't translate in the show. You know, you're in a place and, like, it's not, the kids are on your team. When they have the show, like, everybody else around you, you're just like, whoa, you know, this is, where am I? What's going on here?
Yeah, you're talking about the crazy stuff. Like, probably my favorite, it's hard to tell. There's lots of cool moments in the documentary, but the thing in Japan or China on the corner, then the drunkie was punching the guy while talking on the phone.
Oh, that was epic. Yeah, that was epic because we had a girl there. We're all clapping. And we had a girl there who spoke fluent Japanese, so... And it was just the crew, so we were, you know, we were having fun. So we were trying to throw some gasoline on that fire for sure. But what made it great for us is we were watching this, all we had the camera going, and Heather, the girl, is like, just as the guy says things, she just says back what he's saying. So it's like we're getting a subtitle to the whole thing going on. So it was amazing, right? And Japan has changed so much. When we first went there, you know, not that many kids had tattoos. Right, and it was still pretty much, you know, the Yakuza or like the firemen or whoever, the firemen of Tokyo had tattoos. Otherwise, it was, you didn't see a lot of them, right? Now you go there, you go to the punk rock show, and half these kids look like they're the roadies for Rancid, man. They've got like tattoos on their neck and on the side of their face, and it's just like, whoa. And that's in a period of like, you know, 10 years. It's really like really, really turned around. So it's changed a lot. Things have changed fast. Like, I'm sure when we go to Indonesia again, you know, things are different. It's all in the news right now. You know, the Indonesian punks are like getting washed up and their haircut. It's, you know, we get complacent here in the West that we're allowed to like have our tantrums and fit hissy fits or whatever. In other parts of the world, it still means something to, like, you know, it's dangerous to dress like that, or it's, you know, it's not accepted. Whereas here in the West, it's, you know, carte blanche. You can do as you like.
Talking about the kids and the fans of the band, and when you're on stage, you know, kids are kids, and you know, people like music, they're just from the different, you know, world. But is it, I think, is it different energy coming from different, you know, parts of the world compared to here?
Yeah, for sure. You can feel it. Like, sometimes when you get there, like, kids here, they see a lot of shows, and they're pretty overstimulated in all aspects of their life, so... You know, some kids are still, like, it's their first show, and there's that youthful and like, enthusiasm. But when you go to places where they don't see any bands, and some kid is, like, no one listens to his punk rock band, then his heroes come. Like, these kids are, like, just so on fire and so into it. And also other cultures, like, you know, you go to Argentina and South America and places, these people are, the lifestyle is just so much more passionate, you know what I mean? You go to Brazil and the people, the way they party when they, like, live their life and stuff. So when you see the shows, these people go off. Like, when we played the show in Moscow, it's crazy because here you are in Moscow and everybody's scowling and dour and stuff. The show goes off and there's, like, three different pits and these people climbing poles and people just losing their minds, and it's great, you know? So you can't help but feed off it. In the show, when we played Chile, we play Chile and the show starts and the kids just start singing along, and you know, I'm as jaded as they come, but still, you know what I mean, like, I can't help but, like, be like in awe of it. The hair on the back of my neck stands up. It's just like you can't negate that there's just so much energy in the room, right? You feel it. It's all a huge big part of it. So
yeah, that's what my friends told me. Two of my members of my band, I was in Russia. They went because NoFX is their favorite band of all time as well, like me. And then they went to the Moscow show. They went, you know, they traveled half of the country, and it was, I think, 3 days on the train to go to see the show. And then they got there. I remember them talking about it. For them, it was, you know, the biggest event of their life for, you know.
Oh, yeah, awesome. It was a good show.
Yeah, yeah. And then Mike, he didn't like the first show, but then he liked the second one.
He didn't have such a good time in St. Petersburg. I had a rough time in St. Petersburg. I got as wasted as Kent got in Moscow in St. Petersburg. And I'd, like, lost my passport, left it on a boat, on a cruise ship. You know, this stuff made the film. So the night that Kent was getting monster drunk, I was nursing the worst hangover in the world. So I just went to bed, you know, so... Like, I was Kent the night before, you know, and so it was a whole different scene. So when Mike, you know, just seeing that and put Mike in a good mood to make the best.
I heard, I don't know if it's true, and I think I read it in one of the Mike's interviews on one of his small, I don't know, whatever, on the internet. There are some plans to do Backstage Passport 2. Is it real or is it something, it's a rumor?
No, it's, we've got a bunch of footage that just didn't fit into the context of when the first one was done, and we're basically, you know, we've done almost a full wrap-up of the return to South America and some other stuff. We're waiting to, we got to get some more footage because, unfortunately, as you may have heard through the internet, we got to Colombia again last time, but we still didn't get to play, you know. So the last time we went to South America, we have a bunch of footage from that, and that was a, and there's some really good stuff there. We played two shows in Buenos Aires. It was insane. We played the first show at some festival. We barely got there. I left early. The band flew after. I got there. Band basically got out of the bus, out of the van, picked up from the hotel, had like a snack and a beer, and we hit the stage, you know. So, and then the next day, in, this is in Buenos Aires, we play 150 capacity club, and it was ridiculous, right? You know, there was a line around the street, and there was fights, and, you know, it was so hot in the club that Melvin's amp just went thermal. And when we tried to get another amp to hook it back up, the guys came and the police were just like, don't, because if you turn it on again, we're going to arrest everybody. So, and we're like, okay, fine. And I was pretty glad too, because we basically played a full set and it was just a sweat pit. It was like, you know, there was no room for anything. I was standing right behind Mike's bass. We were all up there and it was a great show. It was fantastic. You know, and then the thing is, we had just come back from Colombia, whereas we'd got into the show. We thought it was going to be great. The club was good. Everything was good. The club was torn down. It was an empty shell of a club, but the stage was there. So we're like, okay, this is going to happen. The bar looked thing. When we went upstairs to look around, we realized that this place was like totally squatted, right? You know what I mean? And so they didn't have any permits and stuff. So we knew what was going on. And at this point, the crowd out front was about, you know, it was a couple hundred kids. We came in, we started doing the sound check, everything's good to go. And they tell us to shut down. It's not happening. Okay. So we wait a little while. Okay, it's not happening. Permits back and forth. Okay, it's not happening. Are you sure? Okay, so we start taking everything down. Somebody turns around and goes, no, my dad's a general, blah, 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 all this other stuff. We can have this other show. So we set up again. We all get ready to go. That's fine. We start doing the sound check. Somebody's playing, and one guy comes in and starts yelling in Spanish. So we're still playing, and all of a sudden, Brian, our guitar tech, he's completely fluent in Spanish. And he's like, whoa, 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 hey, no, this guy, this is for real now. We can't do this. This guy's freaking out right now because he can understand everything that's going on. And we see this guy's in a uniform and stuff, and, you know, veins are popping on the side of his neck. We're like, oh, here we go. So we shut it down again. And then they say it might happen again. Like half an hour later, we're like, well, I'm not undoing anything. I'm going to keep everything just the way it is until we find out. So at this point, the crowd is doubled or tripled. There's like 1,000 kids out front. They got 2 water trucks and stuff, and we know the show's not going to happen. We try to, like, when the plug is finally pulled, it's not going to happen. We try to explain to the kids, you know, and it's just, you know, they don't understand the story. What do you expect? You know, some guy standing with a megaphone, I'm sorry, no effects, but fuck you, you know, blah, you know, all this other stuff. So we didn't, and then, you know, we promise we're going to come back, and then with every intention to come back, and then that promoter falls off the face of the earth. And so we're in the process right now of trying to get back to finish the South America tour so that we can finally wrap up what we want to do with the other footage and stuff that's there.
Okay.
So there is something else in the works. I don't know if it's going to be as many episodes or how it's going to be, but it's, there's stuff coming.
Okay, let's listen to some more music, the CD you brought in, and then we'll talk a little bit more.
All right.
Hey, brother Christian, with your high and mighty Aaron, your action speaks so loud, I can't hear a word you're saying. Hey, sister, bleeding hard with all of your compassion, your labors through the hurt, but can assuage temptation. Hey, man of science, with your perfect rules of measure, can you improve this place with the data that you gather? Hey, mother,
FM at the station. Hey, moral soldier, you've got righteous proclamations and precious stones to fuel your pulpy conflagrations. And I wanna conquer the world, give all the idiots a brand new religion, put an end to poverty and cleanliness and toil, promote equality and all of my decisions. I want to conquer the world, expose the culprits and beat them to the children, do away with their pollution and then I'll save the whales. We'll have peace on earth and global communion.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio show We All Fall Down. My name is Tim, and I have Limo from NoFX Team here.
Success.
We just listened to some punk rock music. The last song is, it was Circle Jerks, So Wild in the Streets. Before that, we heard Black Flag, Police Story. And then before that, we were up on this block of music with Bad Religion, one of the greatest bands of all time in the history of this planet. So, like, you know, we're playing tonight. This is the CD Limo brought in. And so this is the stuff you grew up listening. This is your favorite stuff, like old school punk rock. That's what you listen to.
Yeah, I was lucky, you know, that was what was available. You know, it was coming up and the bands that were happening, so...
Stretch Marks, it's Winnipeg.
Winnipeg had a really good scene, and when I was, you know, I came into the scene late. I was a meddler as a child in the eastern hinterlands of Winnipeg. You know, there was only like I think one punk rocker. I was curious, so I went and had to seek it out. But it had a great scene, and there was tons of bands. So I was lucky to see both local great bands, and at that time, you know, Winnipeg was still getting a lot of shows. So I got to see bands in like the last leg of them being together. Bands like, can I swear on the?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like bands like the Crucifix, you know, and the Rhythm Pigs. I got to see shows like this, right? So, you know, that's pretty amazing. You know, we saw MDC and all these other like bands that were coming through, playing a place in Winnipeg called Wellington's. Mm-hmm. So I was very fortunate. So it was easy. It was easy to be spoiled.
And you mentioned also that you like the Nowadays, and you probably, you know, obviously all of them, like the Nowadays bands.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, we're really lucky. There's a lot of really, really great bands out there as well, you know. So there's a lot of bands that maybe aren't so great, but luckily, you know, there's a lot of other bands that are great. Of our countrymen, the Flatliners, you know, mm-hmm. just off the top of my head, you know what I mean? Like, they've been doing some stuff with us, and I really like what they're doing and things, so.
Yeah. You know, like, I assume that, you know, the whole NoFX team, like, the band and the team, you're all music fans, and so probably, like, you know, is there, like, someone who is, like, the biggest music fan in the whole team, and who is, like, actually talks about the bands and, like, shows the bands to the others?
Well, as far as, like, everyone's got, like, their different tastes, uh-huh. right? Hefe is not a punk rocker, right? So that's fine. But he's doing really well, right? Like, he's you know, he knows so many more bands now. And you know,
so he's trying.
Oh, he's trying. And he genuinely likes him. He understands things more. But, you know, Mike and Eric, you know, they were going to shows together. So they're like, when punk rock comes on, they're all aficionados, right? It's almost like name that tune, who can throw it out first. You know? Mike has more of a photographic memory than a thing. He remembers details from shows like when they were still touring around in the station wagon and stuff. Like, he's always had that ability, so that's great. But yeah, they were lucky because they were in Southern California, and that was an epicenter for all things punk rock. And you know, both California bands and other bands would come there just to play because there's a big scene. So yeah, but as far as like other genres of music, I don't know. I would say that Eric Melvin probably has broader musical taste. Mm-hmm. You know, Smelly, you know, he likes what he likes, and he's got broad musical taste too. He listens to a lot of different stuff and everything. You know, Mike likes punk rock. Right? He likes to listen to punk rock, and when he's partying, he likes to listen to Herb Alpert. So, but he's been really busy too, writing, and that's what's happening right now in the NoFX world.
Yeah, because I know that I think Mike said in some interview or tweeted or something that the band is getting ready to go in studio to do the 7-inch, 5-song 7-inch.
Yeah, they're basically next year is pretty much blocked off for a recording year. There's going to be a lot of work done. Mike's been putting a lot of effort into like some different projects that he's involved in. Mm-hmm. Right, so he's been writing a lot of music, but now he's got a bunch of NoFX songs that he needs to get out and wants to get out in time. So,
do you think is it going to be this year, the new album?
When the new album comes out, I don't know. I know for a fact. I know when the times where they're going into the studio to do recording and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So, yeah, they're going to be laying some stuff down in the springtime mm-hmm. and stuff, and then probably doing the final mixes. So it'll probably be out for next year.
Mm-hmm. You know, the question which I head for a while, and I don't know the answer, because to me, since So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes, I see like the album comes out every three years, so it's a set schedule, just 1997, 2000, 2003, 6, 9, and then now 12, so now this is the year for the album, and then the band always does the next year after the album comes out, the band does Warped Tour. And this, and like I went back in history. There is a plan.
Wow, there's a system there.
There's a system. So, starting in 1997. So for.
I mean, yeah, well, there's always a chance. I wouldn't really hedge my bets on it, but you never know. So, there's still a good relationship with Kevin, the guy who runs the Warped Tour, and there's If the offer is right, Mike, Mike himself loves the Warped Tour.
Yeah, that's he always says.
He loves the Warped Tour because he gets to go out and, it's punk rock summer camp for him. He's just, he gets to be out of his mind and just roll around. He gets to be surrounded by a bunch of, usually it works out because if we do Warped Tour, we'll talk to Kevin and say, well, let's get a couple of these bands out so we have some people to hang with. And there's a bunch of bands we don't know. So, there's all kinds of little dramas that get to happen and, So that's always fun, but from other perspectives.
Yeah, I heard that for you, it's a total nightmare.
Well, the worst guy, I think the guy who's got it worst would be the merchandisers.
Yeah.
They're out in the trenches from Sparrow's Fart till it's all over, right? Like, it's like, they're up at 7, setting up, getting it all ready. And then after that, it's like, and then they're the last to leave, right? Uh-huh, they don't tear down until the kids are gone. So. And I don't know, we haven't had a Warped Tour up here in Vancouver because of obvious, demographic and economical reasons, I suppose. But, you never know. I wouldn't put it out the realm of possibilities that NoFX could be on a Warped Tour. But at the same time, there's also the fact that I think a lot of the other bands miss doing their own tours in the summer. Because when you do your own tour in the summer, you got a choice of who you have on the bill and where you play and, Some bands prefer it because everyone likes to be on the first couple of Warped Tours, but since we've been on most of them, I can take it or leave it.
Okay, and the final question. We're almost running out of time. Do you have the best job in the world?
I have one of the best jobs in the world, yes. I'm very, very lucky. So, as all the guys in the band feel, that we're pretty blessed with what the opportunity that presented itself and has fallen in our laps. Not to say that we don't work hard, but
but
it's easy. It's easy to, it's a self-rewarding job for sure. When you get to work with music you love, and you get to work with your best friends, and get to go out and take on the world, it's pretty good. I like the team that I got drafted on, so I don't plan on. I hope when I signed up, I gave them a no trade clause.
That's good. Okay. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for doing this. And thank you so much for interviewing all this.
No worries. Thanks. I enjoyed myself.
Thank you. Okay. That was the weekly punk rock show. We all fall down. Thank you so much for listening. The next two shows will be Best of 2011. Show next week will be focused on the local releases. So all the best songs and all the best albums from Vancouver, which came out this year. And the last show of the year will be absolutely Best of 2011. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
We're professional punkers, we come from the suburbs. After 15 years, we're still having fun. Now we're over 30, not looking so pretty. At least we got a beat-up accordion. That's Eric, our drummer, his father's a plumber. He drank enough booze to get Rhode Island drunk. Now sober but smelly, he's got one big belly from living the good life provided by punk. Singing, singing, singing. Buy me a Beck's beer or pass me a bong. Give me some Bushmills, I'll sing you this song. Open another big box of cheap wine. We're over 30, we're doing just fine.
cafes, not satanic. He's one hip Hispanic. He grew up with one dozen cousins and kin. He wears baggy pants, he knows how to break dance. You've seen him do every impersonation.
Well, blow me down, Holly.
That's the Megatroid. It's Eric Melvin.
Father! That's Melvin on six strings.
So tell me I can't sing!
Oh, I think you can, just don't do it around me. Stick with what you know, playing guitar solo. With Edson and Watt and punk karaoke. Singing, singing, singing. Buy me a Beck beer or pass me a bong. Give me some Bushmills, I'll sing you this song. Open another big box of cheap wine. We're over 30, we're doing just fine.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.